Christmas. Take your Bibles, please, and open with you to Matthew 1, and I'm going to do a quick survey with you as you open to Matthew 1. How many of you, as you grew up, can remember your growing up years that you celebrated Christmas growing up? How many of you? Oh, that's almost everybody. Maybe it is everybody. Second question. This is a little different, all right? How many of you are glad that your mom and dad, as you grow up, or grandma, grandpa, whoever you grew up with, how many of you are glad that you did celebrate Christmas growing up? I am. Praise God. We're going to get a little bit into the fact today that some people don't celebrate Christmas, and that's okay. But I'm going to answer this question. I'll answer it for myself. It's going to be personal. I'm going to answer it for my wife, because we agree to this. I'm going to answer it for my kids. And you can think about, do you agree? The title of the message is, What We're Celebrating. Goes for me, it's what I'm celebrating today. Goes for my wife, my kids. I'm going to guess that it goes for all of you because you're here celebrating with us. So we're going to start in the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. And I have at least four answers to the question, what are we celebrating? And answer number one is, we are celebrating the faithfulness of God to His Word. Take a look at how the New Testament begins, Matthew 1:1. Matthew 1:1. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. You see where it says, Jesus Christ, the son of David? Why does the New Testament begin with David's name? And then it says, Jesus Christ, the son of Abraham. Why does the New Testament begin with those two names, David and Abraham? Do you know why? Because two of the greatest promises ever made in the history of the world were made by God, first to Abraham and then to David. The first, and I'm not going to have you turn there for the sake of time, but in Genesis 12, all the way back near the beginning of the world, God chose a man named Abram, who later was named Abraham, and God made a promise to Abraham saying this, It shall be when your days, I'm sorry, got to get down to Abraham. I'm starting to read God's words to David there. God said to Abraham, I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And then God said to Abraham, and in you, that is in your seed, in one of your offspring, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Who is the seed of Abraham? It's the Sunday school answer. Let's hear it heartily. Jesus. That's why the New Testament begins by saying that Jesus Christ is the son of Abraham. God kept his promise by sending Jesus Christ, the seed, the son of Abraham, in whom all the peoples of the world may find blessing if they only believe. And then it also says son of David in verse 1. Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So a few thousand years later, God made a promise to David. That promise sounded like this. 2 Samuel 7, 1 Chronicles 17, God said to David, And it shall be, when your days are fulfilled, when you must go to be with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you. That means I will choose someone of your sons and I will establish him. He will be one of your sons. I will establish his kingdom. He will build me a house, not a literal physical house, but he will build me a household made up of people, and I will establish his throne forever. Who is the, ready for Sunday school answer? Who is the seed of David? Jesus. Jesus. The New Testament, verse 1, Matthew 1:1, begins with this fact, God is faithful to his word. Is that true? Not only that, God is completely, perfectly, 100% faithful to his word. Take a look down a little bit also to one more. Down to where it says, verse 22, So all this was done, referring to the birth of Jesus Christ, all this was done so that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. How does the New Testament begin? It begins with three great promises of God. Promise of God to Abraham, that in the seed of Abraham all the nations might find blessing if they only believe. The promise of God to David that one day a son of David would establish a kingdom that would be righteous and holy, unlike our current kingdom. And that Jesus Christ would rule and reign over that kingdom forever. And the third promise, given through the prophet Isaiah, that a child would be born of a virgin. His name would be Emmanuel, which means with us, God. What is Matthew 1 teaching us? God is faithful to his word. What are we celebrating today? The faithfulness of God to his word. And if you ask me, that is a truth worth celebrating. There is no one else like God who keeps his word 100% of the time. But God does. Second, what are we celebrating today? Not only the faithfulness of God to his word, but the birth of our Savior and Lord. Of course, that's the big thing. Look at Matthew 1:21. Matthew 1:21 says, And she will bring forth a son, speaking of the Virgin Mary, and you shall call his name Jesus. Stop there. The J-E in Jesus refers to Jehovah. And the S-U-S in Jesus refers to salvation or saves. Jehovah saves. Yahweh saves. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus Christ is Jehovah come in the flesh to save all of his people from their sins. That's worth celebrating, beloved. There is no other Savior. There is no other deliverer from sins. And not only that, I'm not going to have you turn there. We'll look at it tonight. In Luke 2, remember how the angels appeared to the shepherds as they were watching over their flocks by night? And they said, Behold, we bring you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there is born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Who is Christ the Lord? Who is Christ and God in the flesh. Beloved, Jesus Christ is the only Savior for this world, and he is Lord of all. That's what it's what I'm celebrating. I am celebrating that God is completely faithful to his word and that Jesus Christ is both Savior and Lord. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Oh, if you do, celebrate. Enjoy, rejoice, celebrate the fact that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. That's the Sparky verse, Sparkies. The Father has sent his Son to be the Savior for this world, which leads to the third thing that we're celebrating, that I'm celebrating, Denise is celebrating, our kids, and I hope you too. Third, we are celebrating the only hope for this world. Has anyone noticed that the world is in bad shape? I looked up the top problems in the world today. Inflation, poverty, homelessness, crime, corruption, healthcare costs, immigration, education, and overall moral decline. How many of you have observed these things? All of us. You would have to be living under a rock to not see that this world is filled with problems. Problems which cannot be solved by any president. It really doesn't matter. To a degree, it does not matter who occupies the positions of power in this land because they can't fix all these problems. The only hope for this world is Jesus Christ. And God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son in order that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have what? Everlasting life, eternal life. Jesus Christ is the only hope for this world. The apostle said in Acts 4:12, And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name given under heaven among men by which we may be saved. 1 John 4:14, the apostle says, "We have seen and we testify," meaning we keep on testifying, "that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of this world." Is that worth celebrating? It is to me. We're celebrating the faithfulness of God to His Word, the birth of our Savior and Lord, and the only hope for this world. Now that's three, all right? Here comes number four. Answer number four, what are we celebrating? Well, again, I'm answering this on my own behalf and on behalf of my family, but I hope you can join in. We are celebrating the freedom to observe this day unto the Lord. And for that, I am going to have you turn to Romans 14. Turn to Romans 14. If you have been here for many years, you have known that I have preached and taught and preached and counseled and spoken on the subject of Christian liberty. And the reason is, it is so crucial to Christian unity. The website gotquestions.org, which is a really great resource, put out an article just the other day on Christmas and should Christians celebrate Christmas. And they did a great job of recording the fact that there are some who are very much anti-Christmas, even among professing Christians. They're just against Christmas. They want you to read the history and talk about how terrible it is. Meanwhile, others who have celebrated Christmas for years and are celebrating the faithfulness of God to His Word and the birth of our Savior and Lord and the only hope for this world, they're like, "I don't understand that." I have good news for you. The answer to that dilemma, the answer to that conundrum, the answer to that division among Christians is found in Romans 14. Take a look, beginning at verse 1. "Receive one who is weak in faith, but not to disputes over doubtful or debatable things," right? Christmas is a debatable thing. And there are people who argue their case on either side. Like, "You shouldn't celebrate Christmas because," and they'll give the reasons. Or somebody else will say, "Well, you should celebrate Christmas because," and they'll give the reasons. Here's the answer. "Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputing over doubtful or debatable things." Why? "Because one believes that he may eat all things, but the one who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who doesn't eat, and let not him who doesn't eat judge him who eats, for God has received him." This is talking about a specific debate at the time, whether you could eat meats that had been offered to idols. "Oh my goodness, where'd you get this steak that we're about to eat?" "Oh, I got it down at the corner of 5th and Main." "Oh, they offer those cows to idols. Who cares? It's the best steak in town," right? Well, there was a dispute in those days. Same thing's happening today. The exact same thing. Keep reading. Verse 4. "Who are you to judge another servant?" Answered, "Nobody. To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand." Notice verse 5. "One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike." What's the answer? "Let each one become fully convinced in his own mind." Notice how that's worded. You are being commanded by Jesus to allow others to come to their own conviction and follow it. I'm being commanded the same thing. So listen, it's possible you're here today, Christmas Eve, and you don't like the wreaths, and you don't like the tree, and you don't like, that's okay. And I'm happy to listen to all your reasons why it's okay. But you cannot not let others celebrate the day. Because notice the next verse. Verse 6. "He who observes the day, observes it to the Lord. And he who does not observe the day, to the Lord does not observe the day." Come to your own convictions and follow your own convictions. But here's what I'm convinced of, beloved. God is faithful to His Word. Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord. And there is only one hope for this world, and that is Jesus Christ. And I have, in Jesus Christ, the freedom to celebrate Christmas. And so do you. That's good news. Now, I just gave you four answers to the question, what we're celebrating. Catch them? The faithfulness of God to His Word, the birth of our Savior and Lord, the only hope for this world, and the freedom to observe the day unto the Lord. But I got to add a fifth, and I wish Brian was here to hear it, because it just came upon a midnight clear. No, it didn't. It came upon a day at Southwest Deli. Any of you ever eat at Southwest Deli? I recommend. It's a great place. So the other day, and I'm going to get you a fifth thing that we're celebrating. So the other day, Brian and I are standing in line at the Southwest Deli. And you know Brian doesn't know a stranger. You know that? You know what I mean by that? Like he talks to everybody as though he's known them forever. Right, Miss Veronica? It's true. I don't want to tell stories out of school. And I asked if it was okay to use this, and I got the okay. So we're there standing at Southwest Deli. And if you didn't know, Brian does not like beets, like red beets. And so he and the owner of Southwest Deli, whose name is Lloyd, they're always joking about beets. Oh, you're going to give me a beating today, Lloyd? Are you going to slip some beets into my sandwich? Ha ha. So we're there standing. We're ready to order. We're joking around. There's a lady behind us in line observing Brian. She's just watching him. You know, and of course, if you don't, anybody not know Brian? You don't know Brian? 6'7", 325, big dude. You know, Philip, stand up if you would. Come on, Philip, stand up. About it. Maybe bigger than Philip. So she's there observing. Brian's talking about beets, and we're laughing and everything like that. And he turns around to this woman, and he says, does he ever beat you up? We're laughing and everything. And the lady, she's just observing, not saying anything. And then kind of got quiet, and she says, you know, I have to say, I am a clinical psychologist, and you, sir, need me. And I think everyone in the place heard it because we all started laughing. We all started joking about, we'll give you his number. You're right. You pegged him. It was a great time. So here's reason number five, what we're celebrating. You know what it is? It's the most wonderful time of the year. It is. It's just, it's kind of like that old song. People are laughing and hap, hap, hap. It's the hap, hap, happiest time of the year. People seem to be wanting and willing to let bygones be bygones, put aside the difficulties of the day, and just focus on good things. Yesterday morning, Denise and I made breads for 4 hours. I didn't know it could take 4 hours to make breads, but it turns out if you want to make 4 dozen apple cinnamon breads, it takes about 4 hours to do that if you're doing teamwork. And by the way, before you leave, one per family, not one per person, but one per family, we will be handing out breads on your way out, okay? Anyway, so we're making breads, and we're listening to, I think it was on Spotify or Amazon Music, Country Christmas, Christmas songs. Some of the best songs have been written for Christmas. And one of them was by one of my favorite singers and one of Pastor Drew's favorite singers, Alan Jackson. Let it be Christmas everywhere, and here are the words. Let it be Christmas everywhere. Let heavenly music fill the air. Let every heart sing and let every bell ring the story of hope and joy and peace. Let it be Christmas everywhere. Let heavenly music fill the air. Let anger and fear and hate disappear. Let there be love that lasts throughout the year. Let it be Christmas everywhere. All that is somebody expressing the wish that couldn't it be like this? All the time, everywhere you go. There truly does often seem to be a better feeling, a better spirit, a better attitude at Christmas than there does the rest of the year. You can disagree with that. That's okay. And it may be that you are having this year a hard candy Christmas. That was one of the songs we listened to. And if you listen to that song, and you can look up the lyrics later, in the song A Hard Candy Christmas, the woman who performs it sings about going through difficult times, and she's talking about the worldly ways in which she might try to deal with all the hardship that she's going through at Christmas time. Very worldly, okay? But it does reveal this fact. Just because it's Christmas doesn't mean that everything's okay. Many of you are going through struggles, probably caused by your own sin or the sin of those around you. Sin doesn't stop for Christmas, sadly. But listen, if you're having a hard candy Christmas, let me remind you of some of the greatest truths of all of Scripture. God is faithful to His Word. There is a Savior and Lord, one who came to save sinners for their sins. And if you're a sinner, guess what? He came to save you. There is only one hope for the world, and that person is Jesus Christ. And through faith in Him, you can receive forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life, which is our memory verse for the month. And listen, you have the freedom, and you ought to take advantage of it, to celebrate the birthday of Jesus Christ as unto the Lord. We're not worshiping anything except Jesus Christ. We're not worshiping the Christmas tree. We're not worshiping gifts. We're not worshiping commercialism. We are worshiping the God of heaven who sent his Son to be the Savior for this world. And I would encourage you, take to heart those truths today, and you'll get through the hard candy Christmas every day, one day at a time. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, listen, don't leave without him. I say that often. Don't leave here without forgiveness of sins. Don't leave without the hope of heaven. Don't leave without a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We are here, Pastor Rick and Pastor Drew and others, we are here to help you and to answer your questions. All right, I'm not going to run away when service is over. Maybe they won't either. I'll stay and answer the questions you have if you're here and you don't have Christ. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for this time of year. Thank you for Jesus Christ and the hope of heaven in him. And Father, we rejoice in your provision of a once-for-all substitution sacrifice for all of our sins. And I pray that faith would be strengthened today in those who believe, and faith would be granted today to those who don't. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.